In the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, we are reading where Paul is writing a letter to the church at Ephesus, and he recounts to them what Christians were by nature before they got saved. So as we began in verse 1, I want you to notice some of these things that you probably will identify with. You'll say, oh, that's me, or I know what that's talking about. And personally, I can tell you, yeah, I know what that was talking about. So we're going to continue the thought of a life-changing experience. Now, there's probably a lot that could be said about that I'll not get to. But one thing I'd like for everyone to bear in mind is that whenever the Bible tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. You see, the spirit or the soul has been regenerated. It's a new creation. And then that brings about some different ways of doing things than what we one time did when we were sinners. Let's read. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Let me explain that just a little bit. When he was talking about you, he was talking about the Ephesians. It was the church at Ephesus. And certainly anyone that was in the church must needs know about this being alive in Christ Jesus. Now, anytime that you find death, the meaning of it is going to be separation. So people who are living in trespasses and sins, I'm talking about that's their lifestyle, then the scriptures teach that they are not children of God. They're following the course of this world. So he's saying here that people who were dead or separated from God in trespasses and in sin, he further describes that, and this is what I want us to notice. This is what's important to us. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Immediately, we know that those that are not saved, they have a spirit in them that guides their thinking, their actions, their words, well, everything about them, because that's the spirit in there, like Paul was talking about to the church at Corinth, about what knoweth a man, say the spirit that is in a man. And this is what is being brought out here, that whenever you see someone living in trespasses and in sins, the Bible is teaching us that they're separated. Now, I know as we have taught about eternal security on this program a few times, we always tried to be careful to tell people that please read the book of James, because in the book of James, and as a matter of fact, the little Johns, you read that first and really the second chapter of the little Johns, 1 John, then you'll find that the same truth is being taught, that if we have been made a new creature, as Paul continues to say as he writes, he says that old things, in other words, our old way of life, the way we thought, the way we talked, everything about us, it has changed. And because of this, we have been made partakers of the divine nature, so says Peter. So we find that a person that has truly been saved has, well, let's say in the past tense, had a life-changing experience. It happened in the past, but it is ongoing through the present, and it will be ongoing into the future. And so this is why Paul was saying, if a man be a liar, drunkard, whoremonger, and all those things, he said, I've told you before, and I'm going to tell you again, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And now that does not be in conflict with all of his other writings telling us about how that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And John most certainly does. But the thing to understand is that if a man's been saved, he does live right. He does try. None of us are perfect. I know you would be very much in error to say that you didn't do wrong. You do. Whether you're aware of it or not, that every thought that is impure and who does not have those thoughts, then that's sin. So we're still sinners. But when we get saved, our lifestyle changes. And you can read that in the first chapter of the book of Romans. It bears it out that we were in darkness. We were living in a very separated state from God. And spiritually speaking, when people are not living in the light of the Lord, then they're said to be walking in darkness. And compared to a person that's blind, that stumbleth at noonday. And in other words, the sun can be shining in its full strength, but if you're blind, it doesn't faze you. It doesn't mean anything to you because you're blind. And that's the way it is with people that I know this to be a fact. They sit under the gospel, and the power of the Holy Spirit is just all over the place. Christians are rejoicing in it, and you see a lot of sinners that are condemned by it and suffering under conviction, whereas other people, it doesn't faze them. So here is your, well, anyone that's not saved is blind and in darkness, but I'm just trying to say that people who are really, really so far from even beginning to seek the Lord about the salvation of their soul, all that gospel light that is shed abroad in the congregation, that it does not mean one thing to them. If the preacher gets up and says, except you repent, Jesus said, you shall all likewise perish, that doesn't mean anything to them. Because it's not talking about me, they say. But to those of us who have been saved, there's some joys that we have that were life-changing. And let me just very hurriedly give you a line of thought about the wicked person. All of them, when they come to the years of accountability, they are someday going to seek God. That's what they really think. And I believe sinners are honest about that. They just don't realize the power that the devil has over their mind to keep them from seeking after the Lord and being saved. And so they go on in their wicked ways with that same God consciousness that there is a creator. There's one that's bigger than they are, and that they're going to seek him, and that he can get rid of their sins that trouble them so much. As the Proverbs was written, it was saying that the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. That would be just like a man running down the road trying to get away from a bear that wasn't even there. It wasn't even in the road. It wasn't even chasing him. But because of the guilty conscience, he or she felt like that it was. So that's what we're being taught, is that when we are sinners, we're being led by the devil. We're sinning at will. It doesn't bother us because that's what we are. We're sinners by nature and practice. And so it is that whenever we're lost, we continue to hold that thought close to our bosom that we'll get saved someday. And even if you were like me, when I went to bed of a night, I'd say, now, Lord, I'll not tonight, but I'll fix this up tomorrow. there's some things I need to get straightened out before I get saved because I don't want to be a hypocrite. Now, that sounds good, but the problem is that that's the devil doing the talking, because as long as he can get a sinner to put off salvation, just 2 minutes, that's all. That's as good as he'd have. He wouldn't ask you to put off salvation for 10 years or 20 years. No, no, just for 2 minutes, because those 2 minutes never come. You'll go into those 2 minutes, and then you'll ask God for another two and another two and another two, and ultimately people wind up in hell just 2 minutes away from salvation, they thought. But that's not the way it works. Now, when we are brought under conviction of the Holy Spirit, this is where the centerpiece of salvation lies. People who do not have the Spirit of God dealing with them, how can they get saved? How can they repent? How can they trust in that work, that redemptive work that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary? Well, they can't do it. They might want to, and there might, but they have no heart for it, is what you need to know. You may have a mind for it, but you don't have a heart for it. And it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness, so says the 10th chapter of Romans. And so we see then that as a poor old blind sinner goes up and down the road in his sins, he's blind to the dangers that are out there. I was just shocked the other day when they told me about this 17-year-old boy that was lightning struck. He was killed. I was also shocked to hear that there was a robbery up at a restaurant nearby us, and someone was shot in the head and killed. And it's just, they were killed, they were killed, they were killed, all over the place. People are dying. They're going to eternity. And that poor old sinner and his depraved thinking, well, God wouldn't let that happen to me because my parents are good. They go to church, they read the Bible, and they're good to everybody. And so it's just our nature as sinners to try to live off of the goodness of someone in our family, which doesn't work at all. And so as we look at these scriptures, we find out that there were some things that was really bad, wrong with us. And this is what he's saying, that in time past, that means before we got saved, we walked according to the course of this world. In other words, we went right down the same road. That's what that course is talking about. We were on the same road that the wicked's on. And the seventh chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew tells us that there's a narrow road and a broad road. And so that broad road is where the sinners are. It has room on one side of that road for, quote, good sinners, unquote, which there is no such thing. And then on the other side, it's, you know, the people that have been dictators and had thousands or even millions of people killed. But here's the thing. We were on that same road that was leading us down to that eternal pit where the screams and the cries of torment rise above all the other noise that is going on there. And the prayers, people praying. You know, hell is a noisy, noisy place because there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's just something I wouldn't want to live in for 1 minute, much less for all eternity. But that was the road that we were on. Now then, in order for us to change roads, to get on that narrow road, and people misunderstand what that narrow road means. A lot of them think, well, you know, you just have to do this or do that to go to heaven. No, you do have to get under conviction. First, you're not going to get saved until the Spirit of the Lord condemns you and makes you know that you're a lost sinner. And then as he convicts you, and you begin to see your need of getting off that road that you're on because you see where it's taking you, then that's the only thing that'll make a sinner want to change, is to see that they have offended God. That's the worst thing. That's the number one thing. We need to understand that we have offended God. And the quarrel is with us. It's not that we have a quarrel with God, regardless what happens to us or our family. We cannot justly accuse God or charge God with anything except His goodness. And that's it. So, whenever He calls us off that road, we change roads because He calls us by His Holy Spirit through the gospel to repentance and faith in His Son. So what He's wanting is us to have that experience that we know about, that we remembered, that we were all these things that Paul is talking about here, but that God, through His abundant mercy and by His grace and His rich mercy and love, that He called us and He helped us to repent and to trust in that finished work of His Son. Now, getting off that road is not easy, because you're surrounded by so many that will put pressure on you to remain as you are. And the devil will say, don't you see that's a narrow road over there, and that you're not going to have any friends if you go over there? And so the temptation is real. And I lived with that temptation for a long time, because as a musician, I was popular with the people. And the devil was telling me that if I got saved, then I wouldn't have any friends. Well, who among us does not want to have friends? Well, of course, we all do. And the more friends, the better. We love people. Well, here we find that there's a need for that change, and God's pointing it out to us. And so here we find in this third verse of this second chapter of Ephesians, where he said, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. In other words, our lifestyle, our conversation, our way of doing things, thinking about things, talking about things. And in the lusts of our flesh. Now that's plural. That means there's plenty of them there. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what Paul is saying to that church there at Ephesus. You're no different than anyone else. Everybody was in that same condition whenever they were called by the Lord to get off that road. And you see how that living on that road, that broad road, was. It was just a constant thing in that lifestyle that was designed to fulfill the lust of the flesh and the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And you see, that mind without the Spirit of God, the scriptures are plain about it. The Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded is death. So this is the point. When we have that spiritual mind that we never had before, you have to know that you have had an experience of being brought out of this ungodly mess that's on its road to hell, into this company of people that are like-minded. They love God. They love Christ. They love the Holy Spirit. They love God's Word. They love His people. They love lost people. And they try to influence them, try to say to them, I lived like you did. I thought like you did. I know all about it. I was there. But God, who was rich in, well, let's just read that out of the scripture. It's the next verse. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, in other words, made us alive, together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. So, you see, if I might say this, if we're dead by nature and dead by practice, then we're in a, well, we're swept on our way by the worldly spirit that is in us. If we're separated from God, and if we're dead, meaning separated, then we need to be brought under the working of the Holy Spirit, because He's the only one that can work on our heart in a way that is not just a mind change, but it's a change of nature. We need to get that. And so we are in such a pitiful, ruined condition that it's a situation that is exactly right for the operation of grace, which is salvation by grace. You couldn't have it any other way. It'd have to be God that would be willing to forgive you of all those sins that you committed when you were on that broad road in order to be saved. And so the thing that I want everyone is just think back over your life. Are you really thankful for the way you've lived? Are you thankful for the food you had to eat? So many things that God was so good. He sent His rain on the just and on the unjust. Were you thankful for that? We're not. We're just not. That's just not our nature. But when a person gets saved, any little crumb of grace, like a little piece of crumb of bread that falls off of that bountiful table that God has prepared for those that love Him, even a little crumb, we just thank the Lord for that because it warms our heart. And so He begins to tell us how that God is going to make a change in our life by His grace. It's not by our works. That's what this is going to be telling us, that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not something that we can earn. It's just something that changes our life. Now, I want to be sure that we get this in before our time is gone. When you were on that broad way, you were living it up, and I was. When I say you, I'm including myself. I had the worldly friends. I went to the worldly places. I did the worldly things. But that was only a snare that the devil had to pull me on down into hell. But again, but God, who is rich in mercy and love, He dealt with my heart through the Holy Spirit. And so whenever I was humbled down by that conviction that all of us must have in order to repent in an acceptable manner with God, then I was helped by the Holy Spirit to repent. I was helped by the Holy Spirit to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my own Savior, my Savior. Now then, what changed? Well, as far as the outward appearance, the lot of things that were outwardly, nothing changed. But on the inside, there was a brand new man that was living in there. And this man is one that is going to live there, and God's going to live in there, Christ is going to live in there, the Holy Spirit's going to live in there. And so that automatically changes our outward way. We're not sinners like we used to be. We have changed. We've had a life-changing experience. And that's what salvation does. If you've not had a life-changing experience, friend, I'm afraid you just haven't had the right one. That's the one you need. But look what we have now. We have treasures in heaven. We have all these rich promises that God has given to those that love Him. And the main thing is, I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to dread death, because He took the sting of death on him. So everyone that trusts in him and dies with him, the sting of death's already took place. We'll just kind of slip down under the shadow of death and walk right on into heaven. And I hope you do that. Will you seek the Lord now while he may be found? Because the time's going to come. You can't find him. So please do it now. We have a free CD that we'll give you that is would help you, I think, to get saved. And it's free. It doesn't cost you a penny. So here's the address that you may write and get it. It's Brother Paul, 2701 Sample, Sample, Scales, Scales, Road, Homer, Homer, Georgia, 30547, USA. May God bless you till this same time next week.